nothing, but they easily got a no-knock warrant for Breonna Taylor. An interesting contrast there. And justice for Breonna Taylor tweets, today marks 297 days since Breonna Taylor was murdered by Louisville police. None of the officers responsible have been charged. Final point, Saeed, most people would say for justice to be done, these officers need to be jailed.
They need to be jailed. Well, we'll keep that in mind, and I'm sure you'll bring us the updates as and when you get them. Richard Sudan, thank you. Well, the clock has beaten us again. Thanks. Goodbye for now.
The U.S. State Department has announced a flurry of deals, including $290 million in Boeing-made precision-guided bombs to Saudi Arabia, $65 million in drones and fighter jets to the UAE, $169 million in military equipment to Egypt, and $4 billion in helicopters to Kuwait. We have prepared an article for you in this regard, written by Kenny Stansil Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Lame Duck Trump's West Asia Arms Bonanza continues with approval of $290 million weapons sales to Saudi regime. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. Despite opposition from the public and some members of U.S. Congress, the Trump administration, in its waning days, is rushing through weapons sales to a handful of West Asian nations with records of human rights abuses, including Saudi Arabian regime and the United Arab Emirates, whose U.S.-backed blockades and airstrikes have exacerbated civilian suffering and death in Yemen's ongoing war. The U.S. State Department announced a flurry of deals, including $290 million in Boeing-made precision-guided bombs to Saudi Arabia, $65 million in drones and fighter jets to the UAE, $169 million in military equipment to Egypt, and $4 billion in helicopters to Kuwait. President Trump's lame duck West Asia arms bonanza continues, said William Hartung, the director of the Arms and Security Program at the Center of International Policy. Selling more bombs to Saudi Arabia, given its history of indiscriminate airstrikes that have killed thousands of civilians in Yemen, should be a non-starter. While the actions of Saudi Arabia and UAE regimes have come under increased scrutiny as a result of the Saudi-led assault on Yemen, Hartung also encouraged Congress and Biden to review the sale of equipment to Egypt in light of its brutal and counterproductive counter-terror campaign in the Sinai, which has involved severe human rights abuses, the killing of innocent civilians, and the driving of thousands of families from their homes. As The Guardian reported, Joe Biden's transition team has complained that it is not being properly briefed by the Pentagon on ongoing military operations, as is customary for an incoming administration in the weeks preceding inauguration on January 20th. In an effort to impede the transfer of at least some weapons, the New York Center for Foreign Policy Affairs is reportedly planning to file a lawsuit against Secretary of State Mike Pompeo over the proposed deal with the UAE regime. The filing will claim the Trump administration has failed to meet the legal requirements of the Arms Export Control Act. For the deal to proceed, there must be a full rationale for the sale and consideration of the impact on U.S. security and world peace, the New Arab reported recently. The lawsuit also cites the UAE's actions in the Saudi-led air campaign in Yemen. Although the U.S. Senate in early December failed to block President Donald Trump's $23 billion weapons deal with the UAE regime, the lawsuit calls for an injunction to stop the sale. The Trump administration has attempted to justify selling arms to the UAE, The Guardian noted, by saying the weapons allow the country to deter increasing behavior and threats of other countries. According to a press release issued recently by Defense Security Cooperation Agency, the arms deal with Saudi Arabia will support U.S. foreign policy and national security objectives by helping to improve the security of a friendly country that continues to be an important force for political stability and economic growth in the West Asia region. Critics of the weapon sales, however, say the deals will worsen human rights violations and destabilize the West Asia region. As The Hill reported recently, the notice kicks off a 30-day clock during which lawmakers can block the sale if they choose to. If Congress can't block it, Hartung said, the Biden administration should do so when it takes office.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Iqbal, obviously being a scholar, we say Allama Iqbal as well. He was a mystic. He knew Quran very well. In his poetry, we can see, you know, interpretation of Quran as well. So he basically was referring back towards the original Islam.
One very important factor about his character was that he was a concerned person. You know, he had the concerns for the society, for the people, for the human beings. He was a person who constantly thought about others and finding solutions for the betterness of the society and betterness of the world. Say in front of
him, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear brothers and sisters, all across the nation of Islam. This is The Teacher, an introduction to the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, philosophers, and scholars all across the world, with the presence of two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Dr. Murtaza Rezazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. And Dr. Rezazadeh, assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
So, in this new series of the program, The Teacher, we are concerned with some of the outstanding and prominent Muslim thinkers and scholars, and for this episode we have selected Muhammad Iqbal, who was a famous poet, scholar and politician of India, now present Pakistan, and in fact whose poetry and some of his works in politics really outstanding, and his vision, in fact, of the independent states of the Muslims for British India was to inspire the creation of Pakistan at that time. And he's commonly referred to as Allama Iqbal, a polymath or a scholar. Okay, Dr. Rezazadeh, in our previous discussion regarding the Persian poetry of Iqbal Lahori, you named two first important poetic collections of him for us, Asrar Khodi and Rumuz Bikhodi, Secrets of the Self and Hints of Selflessness. What are the other important poetic collections of Iqbal, and what are the main themes of his works for us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The collections I mentioned, but the themes are remaining.
Yes,
and,
very
and
good.
You know, it is really hard to mention or to name all the themes that he has talked about, because as I said, you know, he has been one of the reformers of the Persian poetry in the sense of content and bringing a lot of new content into Persian poetry. He has composed more than 15,000 lines of poetry, that two-thirds of them are in Persian.
That's right.
So he has talked about a wide variety of different topics. But some of the major themes that I can mention here is that one of them is inviting to being intellectual, I mean, using reason
That's
and
right.
being rational. So sometimes, although he wants us to be very, let's say, spiritual, but at the same time, he's not among those people who only promote a type of, let's say, remote lifestyle that
solitary
pays no attention.
Lifestyle. Yeah. He is among the people, that's
right. Yeah, he talks about, he admires philosophy and wisdom and paying attention. Hikmat o falsafe ra o himmat mardi bayad tigh andishe be rooye do jahan aukhtan ast. If you want to really become good in philosophy and wisdom,
right.
you really need to have the will of a very strong man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having the sword of the, let's say, thought
mm-hmm.
to draw your sword mm-hmm. to the both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to say that
yes.
it's hard, but you really need to be a very strong in your intellect. And at the same time, another theme that we can mention is that he fights with a type of negative asceticism. You know, you can find it in the, this is very common
okay.
in the some of the Persian poets,
okay.
that when they talk about asceticism and not being, let's say, attached to this worldly life,
mm-hmm.
they say it in a way that the person becomes influenced, and they think that this world,
mm-hmm.
this really material, physical world, has no role and no importance.
Oh.
But he talks in a more, let's say, comprehensive and
rational
yes,
way.
Yes, rational
That's
way.
Right.
You see, at the same time, that should not be attached
mm-hmm.
to this world. You should know that asceticism, in its radical or excessive meaning, can be harmful, because it stops you from making this world and from your progress in this world.
That's
also,
right.
another important is that he was a revolutionary person, and
yes.
you can see this in many of his works.
Mm-hmm.
He invites people to work and hard work. I will mention
okay.
some of his poetry in
Very
this
good.
Regard. And also, let's say, looking for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
In some of his poetry, he
That's
says,
right.
you know, what I'm doing is to break the chains
mm-hmm.
Of my existence. I want to break all the chains and all the, let's say, elusive chains
That's right.
that people have made around
Do
themselves.
Do you have any sample of his Persian poems in this regard?
For example, باز آمدم چو اید نو تا قفل زندان بشکنم وین چرخ مردم خار را چنگال و دندان بشکنم. He has a lot about this.
Okay.
This is just one simple. He says, I just came back, just like a new day, like
mm-hmm.
a new Eid,
yes.
a new holiday,
yes.
to break the lock of this prison. وین چرخ مردم خار را چنگال و دندان بشکنن and also break
mm-hmm.
the teeth of this
cruel
killer or cruel
that's right.
devil
that's right
so devils. He wants to just, you know, encourage people
okay.
to
Very good.
Free themselves from all the things that
okay.
stops them
mm-hmm. we get the terms of the if possible
okay sure
to
no
say
problem.
Most and now we
okay.
just we can't say and some audio but before that I would like to say that, as Dr. Rezazadeh said, this rational look that he had at the world, and also some of the content that is very much rare found nowadays in the Persian poetry and in the classical one also, is looking for a savior and peace in the world. This was Iqbal Lahori was looking for. In one of the outstanding Persian poems, he talks about Sawar Ashhab. In fact, Ashhab is a kind of, we can say, gray horse, gray-colored horse. And it says that, ای سوار اشهب دوران بیا، ای فروغ دیده ی امکان بیا، رونق هنگامه ایجاد شو، در سواد دیده ها آباد شو، شورش اقوام را خاموش کن، نغمه خود را بهشت گوش کن، خیز و قانون اخوت سازده، جام صحبای محبت بازده. He is talking about the last savior and we can say about coming of a savior in order to find peace and jangjuyan ra bede peygham sol, give the message of peace to the warriors and then we can say to the war takers in the world. Really beautiful content in Farsi language which was manifested by him. Do we have such content in the Urdu language too, Sayyid Mohsen?
Well, his Urdu works, I said, like, it's divided into the awaking position and then shaking people and then after that the system that we want. Yes. In Zarb-e Kaleem that we mentioned, he's talking about the Islamic system. First of all, what he does is he talks about the democracy. He says, "Is raaz ko ek mard farangi ne kiya faash, har chand ke dana ise khola nahi karte. Jamhuriyat ek tarz hukumat hai ke jisme bandon ko gina karte hain, tola nahi karte."
Okay.
It means that he said, like, one of the people in the West, they told me the secret.
That's right.
They opened the secret for me. Which usually the wise people, they don't open their secrets, but he opened his secret in front of me.
Okay.
And he said, the democratic system, mm-hmm. Jamhuriyat.
Yes.
The democracy.
Okay.
In this system, it's a kind of a system in which they count people, they do not weight people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that a person is weighted because of his education, his wisdom, his insights, mm-hmm. his basira, and all those things.
Okay.
He said, remember, the Jamhuriyat, the democracy, is a kind of thing in which people are counted. They're not weighted.
Okay.
And on top of that, in the same book, he mentions about the concept of imama.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Tune puchi hai imamat ki haqiqat mujhse, haq tujhe meri tarah sahib asrar kare." You have asked me about the concept of imamat. What is imamat?
That's
that
right.
I'm talking about the imam and ummat.
Mm-hmm.
May Allah make you the bearer of the secret like me.
Okay.
And the imam, and then he describes the imam. Who is the imam, basically,
yes.
what he was talking. Hai wahi tere zamane ka imam barhaq. He is your imam, the true imam, jo tujhe hazir o maujood se bezaar kare. Who disgusted you from what you are in. You know, the current situation that you are living in.
That's right.
The current situation, for example.
Awakening, in fact. This
he's basically awakening.
That's
the imam, the rule of imam is to awaken.
Mm-hmm.
He is a revolutionary person. I just remember of the, you know, the statement that the Supreme Leader has said.
Yes.
Man in Kalabi,
yes.
He's basically talking about the same concept.
I am revolutionary.
I'm revolutionary.
That's right.
So I'm here to awaken you, and you need to go towards the revolution.
These are some of the secrets of the Iqbal's poem that were welcomed before the Islamic Revolution of Iran. And we know that in the literary circles and among the revolutionary circles and by the leaders of the Islamic Revolution, the poems of Iqbal were very much welcomed.
Yes.
Because he was after establishing a separate Muslim land and reviving the pure Muhammadan Islam. This was why maybe his poems were very much welcomed. And regarding what Imam said, he has a beautiful poem regarding Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes.
He says, Muslim avval shah mardan Ali, ish ra sarmaye iman Ali, az velaye dudmanash zindam, dar jahan misle gohar tabandam. In fact, he's referring to Imam Ali alayhi salam and the dudman. In fact, the descendants of Imam Ali alayhi salam, I'm alive by them. He had really beautiful poems regarding religious content. He was, as they say, we know that in the literature, we have literature of commitment, adabiyat ta'ahud, okay? He was really a committed man, in fact, a person who was faithful to his beliefs in his poetry, too.
Exactly.
Okay, Dr. Zazadeh, any other points regarding the themes of the Persian poems?
Yes, there are a few others that I wanted to mention. One is just what you just mentioned. You know, we can say that Iqbal's poetry has one feature that we can call it religiosity while being intellectual.
Oh.
You know, this is something very important for him. He wanted to prove and he wanted to explain in his poetry that you can, of course, be a very good, committed, faithful person while at the same time being a very intellectual person. And he proved it and he expressed it in the best way in his poetry. that you mentioned some of the examples, so I don't bring examples. Another one that is very common in his poetry is relying on the self. He really wanted to make the younger generation aware of the, as I mentioned in previous episode, aware of their own havings and the treasures that they have. And he brings some beautiful metaphors. For example, he explains the life, or let's say he defines the life in this way in his poetry. He says, زندگی در صدف خیش گوهر ساختن است، در دل شعله فرو رفتن و نگداختن است. At the same time that this is revolutionary, this really gives a lot of self-confidence to the person who reads it. He says, life is like making your own jewel in your own shell. So you really need to bear with all the difficulties and make your own jewel while you are in your own shell. And he uses a beautiful metaphor. در دل شعله فرو رفتن و نگداختن است. And life is also going into the heart of the
fire
and at the same time not being burned by that.
This reminds me of Ibrahim, the story
That's a good point. Yeah.
So the allegory is like that. Okay.
Appreciate what you have. And this is one of, let's say, his most important messages to the Muslim nations came. I hope I have time to also mention a couple of other themes because they are really important. I think it's a pity not to mention them.
We got about 1 minute for you, brother.
So let's stop
here.
Yeah,
Iqbal has much to say.
Yeah, but at least let me just mention the titles that I had some explanations maybe later.
Okay.
But this is really what we need even until today. Mm-hmm. He wanted to give a realistic view to the West, especially to the youth. So that they know what is the reality of the West, is the cause and the reason of their power, and what is their weak point, in order to give you a good view, and let's say in order not to be spelled by the Western culture. He had beautiful poetry. I wish I had time to recite some of that. And then the last one that I wanted to mention is his invitation to hard work. You know, you can find it very much in his poetry. And he says, ساحل افتاده گفت گرچه بسی زیستم هیچ نمعلوم گشت آه که من کیستم موجز خود رفته ای تیز خرامید و گفت هستم اگر میروم گر نروم نیستم. This reminds me of the Sa'di poetry. This is very similar to his. And he says, ساحل افتاده, you know, the seashore. This is a metaphorical dialogue between the seashore and the wave of the sea.
The wave that touches it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. The seashore that is very stable, does not go anywhere.
Fixed,
it's fixed and it's very stable.
Okay.
Said, although I lived a lot, maybe for centuries, but still, I don't know, I wonder who I am.
Okay.
And then
the
wave that passed very fast said, in answer to the shore, hastam agar miravam gar naravam nistam. I exist if I keep going. I will be non-existent if I stop.
Okay.
You know, that's really inspiring.
Yeah.
It's really
the power forward to move forward.
Yeah, encourages
really,
you to move forward and never stop, because as soon as you stop, you will be non-existent.
Nice message for our young generation nowadays, young generation, young Muslims. If you wanna advance, never stop, go forward, and then you can change current situation. It was very kind of you,
absolutely,
Dr. Reza Zadeh and Said Mohsen Naqvi. We do not have more time in order to get to the other aspects of the life of Allama Iqbal Rahoui. He says, گرچه هندی در عزوبت شکر است، طرز گفتار دری شیرین تر است. Although the Hindi language is sweet, but you know, the way of expressing yourself and poets in Farsi language
sweeter.
That's right. And this was why Allama Iqbal Lahori composed most of his poems in the Farsi and Persian language. Thank you very much, Dr. Reza Zadeh and Said Mohsen Naqvi, and dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program The Teacher, which was about Allama Muhammad Iqbal Lahori. May Allah bless him and bless his soul. He was really a great man. And I think that some of the courses, at least at the universities, have to be dedicated to Iqbal Shenasi, Iqbal studies, like the other thing. This is my suggestion in the program, The Teacher, for our students and for our dear professors of Muslim lands, in order to introduce these dignitaries. And even they could have their own separate departments
Because now we could see in the Western world, most of the philosophers have their own studies, have their own students, have their own generation of the books produced. Okay, over there, Iqbal Lahori is for sure among the first ones who should be studied more and in different aspects, political, social, and also literary style. Do not forget to visit our website, parstoday.com/Iyan Khalaf Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and greetings to our Christian listeners from the Armenian, Greek, Assyrian, Russian, and other Orthodox churches who mark the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, on 6th or 7th of January every year. We now present you an interesting saying about Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, from Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, the Sikh's infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, Jesus, the son of Mary, may Allah's blessing be upon him, said, You work for the sake of this world, whilst it is not by work that you are provided for in it. And you do not work for the sake of the next world, whilst it is only by work that you will be provided for in it.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
England will enter its toughest nationwide lockdown since March, with schools closed until mid-February, as Prime Minister Boris Johnson warned that the weeks ahead will be the hardest yet. As new figures put the United Kingdom on course to exceed 100,000 COVID-related deaths before the end of the month, without urgent action. The Prime Minister Boris Johnson said once again that people must stay at home, with exercise limited to once a day. All non-essential shops were told to close from Monday night. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Jessica Elgott and Peter Walker. The piece is titled England to Enter Toughest COVID Lockdown Since March. Stay with us for more of Jessica Elgott and Peter Walker's article. England will enter its toughest nationwide lockdown since March, with schools closed until mid-February, as Prime Minister Boris Johnson warned that the weeks ahead will be the hardest yet. As new figures put the United Kingdom on course to exceed 100,000 COVID-related deaths before the end of the month without urgent action, the Prime Minister said once again that people must stay at home, with exercise limited to once a day. All non-essential shops were told to close from Monday night. The lockdown will last for at least 7 weeks, with measures to be reviewed during half-term week. Any relaxation would not come into effect before 22nd of February. Just a day after urging millions of school pupils to return to the classroom, Boris Johnson announced all schools would switch to remote learning until the February half-term, and GCSE and A-level exams were unlikely to go ahead as planned. The Prime Minister said parents would reasonably ask why we did not make this decision sooner, adding, "I completely understand the inconvenience and distress this late change will cause millions of parents and pupils up and down the country." In an 8 p.m. address to the nation, the Prime Minister said he hoped that 12.2 million of the most vulnerable in society, care home residents and staff, frontline healthcare workers and social care workers, all those over the age of 70 and the clinically extremely vulnerable, would get their first vaccinations by mid-February. The Vaccines Minister, Nadeem Zahawi, later said these four groups added up to 13.9 million people in England. The United Kingdom was entering the last phase of the struggle, Boris Johnson said, adding, "With every jab that goes into our arms, we are tilting the odds against COVID and in favour of the British people." The crackdown comes amid catastrophic figures for hospital admissions in England and warnings of a grim death toll by the end of the month. Prime Minister Boris Johnson said, "On 4th of January, there were 26,626 COVID patients in hospital in England, up 30% from a week earlier. The peak of admissions in the first wave was 18,374 on 12th of April. The country is now 40% above that level." Across the United Kingdom, there were 80,664 positive tests on 29th of December, with the case rate 3 times higher than the start of December. There have been 91,453 deaths in the United Kingdom with COVID-19 on the death certificate or within 28 days of a positive test. Given the current trajectory, the United Kingdom could reach the grim milestone of 100,000 deaths before the end of the month, according to experts. Monday, 4th of January, the United Kingdom's chief medical officers recommended that the COVID alert move to its highest level from Tier 4 to Tier 5, meaning there is a material risk of healthcare services being overwhelmed and necessitating extremely strict social distancing. "We are not confident that the National Health Service can handle a further sustained rise in cases, and without further action, there is a material risk of the NHS in several areas being overwhelmed over the next 21 days. The chief medical officers of the four nations said, whilst urging those who still need emergency care for other illnesses to seek treatment. Other UK leaders also announced new restrictions. All schools in Wales will be closed until at least 18th of January, while mainland Scotland will be placed in full lockdown from midnight on Monday for the duration of January. Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, said it was no exaggeration to say that I am more concerned about the situation we face now than I have been at any time since March last year. Northern Ireland also looks set for new curbs, with Arlene Foster, the First Minister of Northern Ireland, saying the region faces a very dire situation. In his address to the nation, Boris Johnson laid the blame for the third national lockdown squarely on a new, faster-spreading variant of the coronavirus, despite widespread ongoing criticism of the government's slowness to act. There is no doubt that in fighting the old variant of the virus, our collective efforts were working and would have continued to work, Boris Johnson said. But we now have a new variant of the virus. It has been both frustrating and alarming to see the speed with which this new variant is spreading. Even in the past 36 hours, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson had insisted that schools were safe to open in most areas of England. There is no doubt in my mind that schools are safe, he told BBC's Andrew Moore on Sunday. However, the Prime Minister was unable to identify what he believed had changed since the preceding days, when most schools had been told to remain open, only saying in his address that schools were likely to act as vectors for transmission, causing the coronavirus to spread between households. Under the new lockdown, people in England will be ordered to stay at home from Tuesday and advised to leave only once a day for exercise. MPs are expected to vote the tough new measure into law from Wednesday, although businesses were advised to close from Monday night, 4th of January. Across the country, people must now leave home only for work, and only if it is impossible to work from home, and for essential food and medicine. Exercise with one other person from a different household is permitted, but the advice is to stay local and limit activity to just once a day. Other reasons to leave home will be limited to seeking medical care, fleeing the threat of harm, and providing essential care. All primary schools, all secondary schools and colleges will be closed apart from the children of key workers and vulnerable children. We recognise that this will mean it is not possible or fair for all exams to go ahead this summer as normal, Boris Johnson said. The Education Secretary will work with Ofqual, the regulator, to put in place alternative arrangements. Nurseries, alternative provision and special schools will remain open and existing rules for childcare support bubbles will continue. But students will not be able to return to university and will be expected to study online from their current residence until mid-February. In-person teaching can take place for a limited number of critical courses such as medicine. All non-essential retail and hospitality must close or remain closed. Restaurants and other premises will continue to offer deliveries or takeaways, but alcohol will no longer be permitted for takeaway or click and collect amid concerns about people congregating around bars. Places of worship can remain open and offer communal worship, subject to social distancing, as can playgrounds, but outdoor sports venues, tennis courts and golf courses must close. Outdoor team sports will not be permitted, but professional sports, including the Premier League, may continue.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this program, today's special from IRIB English Radio. On today's special, we're going to speak about conception of death in Islam.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I missed the time you were around. I missed the time you were around. But I'm so grateful for every moment I spent with you. 'Cause I know life won't last forever.
Today, Wednesday, is the 22nd of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and listen to verse 32 of chapter Nahl.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. الذين تتوفاهم الملائكة طيبين يقولون سلام عليكم ادخلوا الجنة بما كنتم تعملون.
The ones whom the angels take in death, being good and pure, the angels will say, peace be upon you, enter paradise for what you used to do.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the previous holy verses, we read as to how the angels of death usually take the life of the arrogant pagans while they are oppressors. Here in this noble verse, we read as to how the angels would take the life of those who are clean of everything and are clear of all the oppressions, arrogance, and every kind of sin.
I'm not alone. What I've seen has been seen before, but it hurts. Just like a thorn, a pain I never felt before. My heart said, just speak the truth. My mind said, don't be a fool. I need to get something off my mind. Don't let this silence be misunderstood. I don't know when my heart will take me, but I know your light will protect me from this fragile world.
This is IRIB English Radio. Today is a special, and we're talking about conception of death in Islam. Muslims believe that the present life is a trial in preparation for the next realm of the existence. When a Muslim dies, he or she is washed and wrapped in a clean white cloth, usually by a family member, and buried after a special prayer, preferably the same day. Muslims consider this a final service that they can do for their relatives and an opportunity to remember that their own existence here on earth is brief. All the prophets of Allah called their people to worship Allah and to believe in life after death. They laid so much emphasis on the belief in life after death that even a slight doubt in it meant denying Allah and made all other beliefs meaningless. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to get prepared for receiving death. In the Islamic instructions, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught everybody, taught all Muslims, all people, to be always considerate of the death experience. According to him, the most considerate of all people are those who are very much aware of the death experience. Now we find that death is an experience that for those people who are pious, true Muslims, it's a pleasurable experience. And for those people who don't believe in the religious standards and seldom practice the religious rituals, death will be very much painful and very torturing for them. We find that the more people are pious, the more pleasurable death experience they will receive and they will have. According to the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, those people who are good doers, those people who are pious, religiously observant people, the angels of divine compassion will be in charge of getting out his soul from his body. But if those people, the profligate people, those people who are deliberately ignorant, deliberately unattentive to their religious duties, they are going to experience death. Those divine angels who are commissioned to torturing people will approach them.
Let's look at death as a beautiful gift for a believer. Why do we fear death? One of the causes due to which man tends to fear death is that man after death steps onto an entirely new path and embarks upon an entirely new journey. Man usually tends to travel on fightful path over which he has traveled a number of times and has not encountered any trouble, better than paths which are comparatively safer, but which are totally new. Since the path being new and unfamiliar, it becomes a reason for hesitation and anxiety, especially since no one who has traveled this path has brought any news about it for the others. Anyway, if the fear of death is due to the place and path being unfamiliar, then it is necessary that the reality of death be completely comprehended and one's conviction strengthened. In addition to this, it is necessary to obtain the necessary information by means of the revelation and the traditions of the infallible Imams, peace be upon them all, regarding the stages, places of danger, and the other particularities of death and after it.
My life is not the same. When I'm too concerned by what they say, why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know I
amidst all the darkness, and everything which makes no sense, know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you.
Big question, how do we prepare for the journey of death? Severing the ties that prevent one from advancing. Disconnecting one's heart from the life of this world is not fully achieved unless one also possesses a balanced character and a sound and upright heart. This occurs by purifying the heart from ostentation, envy, hatred, arrogance, and all of the negative qualities. These are the ailments of the heart that must be cured, for an ill person is not one prepared for travel. All of the negative qualities we have mentioned are produced by love of this world. If a servant realizes that the hereafter is better and everlasting, he or she would certainly prefer it over the life of this world. Such a realization is the fruit of this knowledge, and such knowledge is what comprises the branches of faith.
Islam teaches us that we must keep our kafan, our coffin, our kafan, which is the only piece of cloth that we're going to take to the next world with us, where we look at every day. So we keep it, where when we wake up in the morning, before we start our day, we look at the kafan. We remind ourselves that it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be next month, it could be a year or 10 or 50 years from now. Eventually, they'll wrap me up in this kafan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this notion in the Holy Quran in a beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. O you mankind, you are so busy multiplying, multiplying your assets, multiplying your name, multiplying your family, multiplying your bank accounts, your residences, your investments. You're busy with multiplicity. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. Until something happens. What is it? حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. As soon as you visit the graveyard, you pause and you stop. It's a shocking experience. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. As soon as you visit a graveyard, you stand and you pause and you say, wait a minute, am I ready for this? Am I ready for this transition? To be removed from this world and to enter a new chapter of my life? أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. Then Allah says, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, you shall know. Then Allah repeats and He says, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Twice.
I think death is an interesting topic to discuss about. So inshallah, we continue on the next episode of today's special. Till then, fi amanallah.
Around yourself, can't
Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. Planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun. Such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB.